forward to that day, aren't you? A lamb will be the light. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. I want to give you, before we go into the message, kind of give you an update and about the building projects as we continue to go forward. As appreciate the men meeting it this afternoon, our finance team, and going over the information, finances, but also the progress and where we're headed with the building projects. As I mentioned this morning, as you were leaving, if you looked over to the property next door, at the very front of the property, you'll notice taking most of the fences down, and a new fence has gone up, two new gates and two more new gates, and it's looking really good. But all that fence will be completely down this week, and that just opens up the second drive for us to make that in there. We've got to cut that tree down. And so waiting on civil engineering to complete his work and submit that to the city, hopefully this week. And then we've been told, that doesn't mean it'll come to fruition, but we've been told once the civil engineering is completed and submitted to the city, that 2 or 3 weeks later we could have a grading permit. And in the grading permit would allow us to do all the grading for the second drive, for the bridge building, and then also for the triplex. All that could be done and in anticipation of submitting for our building permit. But that building permit won't be submitted probably for another 3 or 4 months. So just to kind of give you a heads up, it's going to be a little bit, but would allow us to do a lot of that. And then in conjunction with the grading permit, we should be allowed to, should be. I always notice my words here. I've learned over the years, just got to be careful with your words. Should be allowed to go ahead and do a lot of the flat work. In other words, put in the second drive, put in the crossover, put in the drive down to the triplex. A lot of those things couldn't be done over the next 3 or 4 months while we're waiting on the building permit. And we can't do building slabs or anything like that, but we can do a lot of the flat work. And so just pray about that and keep that in your prayers. The daycare preschool is progressing. Some of you have been into the nurseries as we've meeting all these proper standards for a daycare. And Miss Valerie Lund's done a great job with that. And then this week, she got her certification, whatever it's called, that allows her to be the director of that, a state licensed director of our daycare. And that was actually, on my end, what I thought was going to be the biggest hurdle, because there was some hurdles there, and it ended up being much easier than we anticipated. And so that is in hand now. So she's officially licensed to direct the daycare. Now we just have to have the building inspected and to pass that, and the daycare could get started. And so we really are anticipating, Lord willing, starting that daycare preschool in the month of May or June. So it's going to be here. We get started, and also having a summer program for older kids as well, as we look forward to the new building. Looks like, again, the new building is, again, progressing. We're about 95% done with the layout, a plan for the office and coffee shop and new Senior Saints and Children's Church room. That side of the building, which is the south side of the building, is just about complete. We know 95% there on the layout, what's going to be there, the size. For the Senior Saints room, that room's like 41 by 40. It's going to be a big room. And that'll be the Children's Church room. Again, Children's Church room about that big, with a really nice big puppet stage, some storage, and more storage. We need storage. We lack storage around here. And then on the daycare side, we're still tweaking that. And in fact, up until my wife and I and Miss Valerie and Miss Salvo went over and looked at another daycare Friday evening, and just trying to get my head wrapped around, our heads wrapped around daycare, and making our building layout as efficient as possible and with meeting all the guidelines. So we're really close to that as well. Should be able to in the next 2 weeks. give that back to the architect for him to finalize the layout. Once that's finalized, all the layout for that building's finalized, then we'll start the process of putting building plans together. Again, that takes several months. It'll take 2 or 3 months, but we know also the permit to get to the building permit, even being able to submit the building permit is going to take 2 or 3 months. So it all should work out together. You know, and overall, we've been trying to do the second driveway for a while. We've been trying to do the triplex for 2 or 3 years. And really, we're going to save money. The Lord knew that, I'm sure, and He knows everything. And we'll save a little money by all this dirt work being done at the same time. All projects, all this will be done at the same time and just moving forward. So I had a meeting with the city this week that didn't kind of go our way, but I know in being patient, me and myself and I just decided, as I think I said to these you guys Wednesday night, just going to be patient. I can't be upset for 18 months. Just cannot live that way. And so it is what it is. And so we work with the city. We work with all the precarious precipice living on the edge when it comes to all the vastness of the building codes and ordinances. And if I keep talking about it, I'll get mad. You can see it. I'll get like red up to here, and I'm just not going to do it tonight because that's not where we're headed. We'll continue to pray and be positive. Lord has His own timing, and I'm excited, really am excited about the opportunity, what these tools, that's what buildings are, they're tools, and they're tools to reach people with, the gospel. That is what they're for. That's what their primary purpose is. If that's not what the coffee shop is primary for, then we don't need it. If that's not what the new children's church room is, then we don't need it. As I go on and on, the daycare is being started primarily to spread the gospel. Actually, by the way, Heritage Christian Academy was started primarily, not primarily to educate, primarily to reach people with the gospel. And certainly we want to do a first-class job educating our children. And same way in the daycare, we want to have a first-class daycare, but it is about getting more hooks in the water. And it is about putting as many hooks in the water as we can as a church to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And on that note, look at John chapter 9 and verse 1. And Jesus passed by and saw a man which was blind from his birth. By the way, this is the only recorded, if you would, congenital defect or problem. He was blind from birth. The only one recorded in the Bible that was from his birth or from her birth or whatever the case is. All right, so that was a side note, just something. Anyway, maybe you can store that somewhere way back in the back of your brain. And Jesus passed by and saw a man who was blind from his birth, verse 2, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 3. And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Notice verse 4 and 5. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I must work the work of him that sent me. Jesus said himself in Luke, he said, I come to seek and to save that which is lost. He said many times, I've come to do the will of the Father, the work that God sent me to do, my Heavenly Father sent me to do. What was that work? To seek and to save that which is lost. To seek and to save that. And that's our work. That's the work of the church. That's the commission of the church, to go into a lost world and give them the gospel, to be a light in the midst of darkness. We must work the work of him that sent us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray tonight again we see the importance of the work. And Lord, that throughout the next couple of weeks as we see the opportunity and have the opportunity, God, may you allow us and encourage us and strengthen us and give us the grace we need to be the witness we ought to be. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We think about the work that Jesus was sent to do. He came to this world to die for sinners. He came to give his life a ransom for many. And Jesus Christ did not shirk at this responsibility, but he endured the cross, despising the shame. And there he shed his blood for us on Calvary. There he gave his life for us on Calvary. And he died. They put him in a tomb, but death could not hold him because he had no sin of his own. And he rose again the third day. And I'm looking forward to Resurrection Sunday coming up here in a couple of weeks. Lord, it's celebrating that. But man, what an awesome opportunity for you and for me to be about the work. What a great opportunity for us, an opportunity for us to be a light to those around us. A lot of people, we have the A, B, and C crowd. Actually, the A, B, C, and D crowd that come to church. The A crowd, that's you guys. That's the core group. That's the group that comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Aren't you glad you're part of the A crowd? Aren't you glad you're the crowd that shows up for the Bible conferences? And I know there's some out on spring break tonight and some out sick or whatever the case is. And I'm thankful for our core group. I hear it all the time from other preachers, especially after COVID. We just can't get our Sunday night service. We can't get nobody to come. I said, I'm so thankful for our church. Thank you for coming and listening to me and Brother Stone and whomever else is here. What a blessing to have a good core group. Our core group is somewhere around 200. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's A crowd. B and C crowd are the groups that come every other Sunday. But you can never get them there at the same time. Understand this. Even right now, if everyone who is a member of our church, we have about 500 members. If everyone, and by the way, we do, you may not know this, but our constitution and bylaws, I haven't said this in a very, very long time. Our constitution and bylaws say, if you don't attend within 6 months, you become a non-voting member. If you don't attend within a year, if you don't attend one time within a year, you actually are no longer a member. Now, it gives discretion and it gives an opportunity there to make exceptions, and we have over the years. But it also has kept our membership, you know, down, because we do take people off who no longer attend. And so that's just a side note. You may not have known that. Some of you probably already go leave the Constitution and bylaws and you hear that. But there's always exceptions. Those who go to the military, those who have to work. We've had people here who've had to go to, you know, Israel and work for Lockheed. And there's many other exceptions to that. And of course, discretion is there. I said all that to say, if all 500 members showed at the same time, we'd need to build another building. But B and C, they never come at the same time. But once a year, they do. I'm sorry, twice a year. And it's the D crowd. The D crowd come on Easter and Christmas. You know, the D crowd comes on Easter and Christmas. And most of the time, A, B, and C all show up at the same time, and then we have a crowd, don't we? You wait till Easter morning. It's going to be awesome. And I'm thankful for that. I used to get upset. I'd be like, man, the Bible absolutely says, it commands us to go to church. Right. Hebrews 10:25, it's very clear that we should not forsake the assembly of ourselves together. And as a younger pastor, I used to yell and scream at people because they weren't here. And the whole problem with that is they weren't here for me to yell and scream at. So I'm just preaching to you guys and yelling and screaming at you about the people who are not here. What help does that do, you know? We have to understand our responsibility. We have Easter coming up. The crowds are here. I'm just thankful. I've kind of gotten over some of the anger about individuals who won't be here on a consistent basis. I'm just thankful they show up. And it's an opportunity to preach to them. Amen. Opportunity to give them the gospel. Amen. Opportunity for them to hear the good news of salvation. And I said, and I just said it here this last week, it only takes one message. And I'm not talking about it coming from me. It could come from Brother Stone or come from Brother Kushel. It could come from Brother Tyler or from Noah or whomever who's preaching up here. One message could change a life. I'm so thankful the Word of God is alive. Amen. It's a powerful book. And when it's preached, the opportunity there is to change a life. And I'm talking about salvation, yes, but also as a Christian, it has the ability to grip you and to transform you. It's amazing, isn't it? So I'm just thankful people come and an opportunity for them to hear the gospel, to hear the message, and to share the good news. Listen, we must understand and know that we must be about the work. All the ministries of Heritage Baptist Church are about the work. About the work. The work of God. The work of bringing more people to the kingdom of God. Right? One day we will be there. One day the Lamb will be the light. One day there'll be no more work. He says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. There'll come a day when we can't work because we won't be here. I look forward to that day, but there is coming a day when the work will cease, and we must be about the work. We must be about the work. We see here a man who was born blind. Born blind. And the disciples asked a question. Lord, who sinned? This man or his parents or that he was born blind? And we see again that Job mentality, that Job's friends came to Job and said, you've lost all this stuff because you got sin in your life. I'm summarizing again. Job says, I've looked. I've pleaded. He said, I wish there was a daysman, someone who could show me where I have gone wrong. I'm summarizing. But the New Testament clearly states for us and explains to us that sickness, blindness, is not necessarily caused by sin. Now, it certainly can. And you reap what you sow, amen? If you're going to sin, you're going to reap what you sow. But in this case, that is not the case. This man's parents did not sin, neither did they. Now, when he says sin here, he means talking about a sin that caused the blindness. Of course they were sinners. We're all sinners that come short of the glory of God. But the sin in the parents' life didn't cause the sin, the blindness in this man. He says, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In other words, he is blind that God may be glorified, that the work may be made manifest. Jesus Christ, when he came to earth, proved himself to be the Messiah by his works. He proved himself to be the promised one by the miracles he performed. The prophets said, they prophesied concerning the Messiah. They said he would come and do miracles. And Jesus performed those miracles to prove indeed that he was the Messiah. And also absolutely because of his compassion. We as Christians must understand that he was about the work. He was about doing the work. Doing the work. He passed by this blind man. And he looked. He didn't just pass by and ignore him. Well, we as Christians ought to be careful. Yeah, amen. We walk by people every day, we ignore them. I'm sorry, I still do this, and you guys know I do this on purpose. But you know, we went to the outlet mall the other day, and I was walking through Tanger Outlet Mall, and she goes to her stores. I'm not going in there, and I walk up to the tool store, or walk up to Columbia, or walk over to, now they have an Under Armour store. And Nike, whatever. So I'm walking, but everybody I pass by, I just say, howdy, how are you, man? You know, how are you? Howdy, how are you? And I like to see what they, you know, what the responses. So anybody who ignores me, I say, well, they're not from Texas. We Texans, we're friendly. We're friendly. Listen, when we pass by people, we need to understand and know that, listen, that's a soul. That's a soul, and it's our responsibility to be a light. And I'm not saying you necessarily have to stop everybody and whatever the case is, but to be that light, to be friendly, to be kind, to do the work of him that sent us while it is day. Jesus Christ had compassion. He stopped. He stopped as he walked by. The first step to the work is to see the need for the work. The harvest is white, all ready to harvest. We must work the work of him that sent me. I love the old song, we'll work till Jesus comes. Christian, are you working at it? Are you working at it? By the way, there's a big reason for the work. There's a big reason for the work. People are lost. People are lost. Again, he looked at this blind man. The disciples asked a question, and he told the disciples that no, that this man was blind, that the works of God may be manifest, that God may receive the glory. Understand that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. All things were made for him. As this man sat there, he was put there on purpose. And as Jesus walked by, it was the opportunity for Jesus to manifest the works of God.
That
I've said this before, and I try to practice it myself, especially I've been trying real hard this year. I pray that the Lord would send somebody your way. Lord's get up on in your devotion in the morning and say, Lord, send somebody my way that I could witness to. Send somebody by my way that I could give a tract to. Send somebody my way who needs the Lord, or maybe someone who needs encouragement. Be that light. Manifest the works of him that sent you. And then it goes on to talk about the works of Christ. Again, Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke 19:10. This man was physically blind, but we understand the picture here is the spiritual blindness. It's one thing to be physically blind, but it's even worse to be spiritually blind. Physical blindness impacts you just for this time, short time we're here on earth, but spiritual blindness will impact you for all eternity. We live in a world where, again, people are blinded. The devil has blinded them, according to Corinthians. Blinded their eyes so they cannot see. We ought to be that light to work the works of him that sent us. I think about John chapter 4. I'm going to go over there and read it. John 4, verse 34. John chapter 4. Not John chapter 5. John chapter 4. This would be a better place to go to. Verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Amen? We'll work it together. And here is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that wherein ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and ye are entered into their labors. He puts it another way, in that some do the watering, some do the planting, some do the watering, and God gives the increase. Must do the works of him that sent us. We must work the works of him that sent us. We are to be the light. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. I just think tonight my burden was that we as a church keep the main thing the main thing. Amen. And this ebb and flows. Our church has ebb and flowed mainly because the preacher ebbs and flows. That's because every member ebbs and flows. When it comes to soul winning and visitation, organized outreach. But tonight, a reminder that we are having Saturation Saturday this Saturday, an opportunity to hang 5,000 door hangers in our community. Amen. What a great opportunity for you and for me to get out in our neighborhoods and hang the hangers on the doors. Amen. To talk to people, if you would like. Opportunity for you to share the gospel with our community. I'm telling you, there are many people who still, they don't go on 156. They just take 287 all the time and never come over here. Some of the Sendero Ranch doesn't even know we're here. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have members like you who will come out faithfully and share the good news and put a visitor bag on somebody's door. We baptized and Shaylin, Shallon, no, Shaylin. Baptized Shaylin and her husband last Sunday night. Guess how they heard about the church? The Watts threw a new move-in bag. And there's others like that. I think about the Gibsons. I know they haven't been able to attend a long time because of Miss Gibson's health, but they came to this church because of an egg they received on their door for Easter Sunday from our church. And there's multiple people like that. It's a hook in the water. It's an opportunity to see those who are in darkness come to the light, to see them get saved and baptized, to see an opportunity to transform lives by the Word of God. Be a blessing to them. May we keep the main thing the main thing. Bible says here, Jesus says, while it is day, no man knows when the day may bring forth. I'm thankful. I'm looking for the blessed hope, aren't you? I'm looking for His return. I'm looking for those things, and Christ is coming soon, but we have to work the works of Him that sent Him. We have to work while it is day. It's so important. The work is important. Lives are at stake. Spiritual lives are at stake. Eternity's at stake. What a work. Work while it is day. We must be that light. Verse 5, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We won't turn over there, but Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that I am the light of the world. And then He turns around and says, ye are the light of the world. We are to be a light. Philippians describes it as we are to be a light in the midst of a crooked, perverse nation, that we ought to be the light to the world. As we said Wednesday night, they ought to see a difference in us. The Bible is concerned about the way in which we live. Jesus Christ is concerned about the way in which we live, that we live in a way that would be pleasing to God and a light to others around us. But it's more than just being a light. It's sharing the light. Lifestyle evangelism is very important, because when you do give somebody the gospel, it's important that your life back it up. But just living godly around somebody, they may never hear the gospel unless you actually give them the gospel. Give them a track. Tell them the good news. Invite them to church. You have neighbors that you've never invited to church. What a great opportunity. Easter Sunday, anniversary Sunday, what a great opportunity to invite someone to church. Hey, we're having a special Resurrection Sunday. We're having a special Easter service. The choir is going to be singing some extra songs. It's going to be amazing. This year we're going to do the thing where the choir sings and then I preach. The choir sings and I preach. The choir sings and I preach. I kind of like it. Invite somebody. Invite somebody to come to Easter Sunday. Be that light. Be the light. Listen, our world is in darkness. Well, you cannot deny that. Amen. And the world's getting darker and darker, and as it gets darker and darker, we'll just shine brighter and brighter. Sometimes I don't know about you, but I love a bright room. Amen. I do. I do not like to be in darkness. Maybe I said that this morning a little bit. I alluded to it. That's why our buildings, if you go into any of the church buildings, man, they light up like an airport. I tell our architect, when you design that thing, you make sure you put plenty of light in all the rooms. I don't want to go into an auditorium that feels like a funeral home. I wanted to go into a room that feels like Walmart on steroids. I want it to feel like an airplane's about to land. If it was up to me, we'd turn all the other bulbs on this thing, but for some reason, I don't know, we don't. Be the light. The light shines brighter in darkness. Man, we have what an opportunity. And we can be negative about everything going on in our world, but it absolutely makes the light brighter. It makes a stark difference between the light and darkness. Amen. And what an opportunity for us to do the work of Him that sent us. May we continue to do the work. Again, in Matthew 5:16, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. What a work there is to do. And I'll end with this. It's a work. He uses the word work. Some people, work is a bad word. It means it's going to take some energy on your part. It's going to take some time on your part. It's going to take some resources on your part. It's going to be even maybe inconvenient for you to do the work. Why? Because it's work. Now, I'm thankful I have a job. I get up in the morning on Monday. Now, Mondays are tough for preachers. A lot of preachers take Mondays off because it's a day you're tired and whatever from Sunday. I said, no, I'm going to work when I'm tired. I'm going to take off Friday when I feel better. But most of us will get up in the morning and go to work. And it's work. I'm thankful I have a job that I enjoy. Amen. Some people do not. Some of you, I know that no doubt in this room, there are some of you tonight who are working a job you don't necessarily enjoy, but you know it's providing for your family. By the way, it's providing for the ministry as well. We are to be ministers at our work, ministering to others at our work, using it as an opportunity to spread the gospel. But as we go to work, it's work. It's work. We must understand that if we are to accomplish anything for the Lord, it's going to take work to do it. Our church has built a culture on it of work. I've had staff members come on to our staff and go, this is crazy. How much work y'all do. I said, because it's a work. Amen. I said, the man, he goes to his job at such and such, well, I'll use Lockheed since I'll pick on them, but he goes to Lockheed and he works his 40, she works her 40, 50, maybe even 60 hours. Why wouldn't staff do the same? Work, it's work. And we ought to be about the Father's business. We have the greatest work of all, Amen. Sharing the gospel. The greatest work of all, the greatest opportunity to change lives, to see lives change. We get to share the gospel. You want to change our country? Share the gospel. Well, I hope Trump gets in there. He's not the hope of America. Hope of America is Jesus Christ. I know that's cliche, but it is, because the Bible is still a life-changing book. A powerful book, and your neighbor needs it. Your coworkers need it. Your family needs it. Your aunt, your uncle. You say, well, I've asked them 100 times. Ask them again. Tell them again about the good news of salvation. Give them another track. Jesus said, I must work the work while it's day. There'll become a day when we can't work anymore. Now, as a Christian, I look forward to that. But Paul stated it like this. He said, I'm a straight between two. He said, I have a desire to part because that's going to be amazing. But he said, it's more needful that I stay. And listen, we need to work till Jesus comes. Again, the song says, O land of rest for thee I sigh. When will the moment come? When I shall lay my, what? Armor by and rest with thee at home. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. We'll work. Till Jesus comes and we'll be gathered home. I know all of you have jobs. All of you work hard. I know sometimes you say, well, I've got to go down there and pass out some new move-in bags, or I got to go visit my Sunday school class, or I got to go visit this or do that, and oh, I'm so tired. It'll be worth it. It's worth it all. We must do the work of Him that sent us. Let's all stand. The same verse of invitation, 167, just as I am.